You may be seated as we get going into today. We begin a brand new series, and it's called Confessions of a Superhero. And I try to do things differently often here. I try not to get into like the same kind of preaching style all the time. I try to, I've told you guys this before, there's times that I'll give you three preaching points, or there's times that I'll just break down a scripture. I don't even know if you could call this today a preaching, but I'm going to just kind of talk to you today. I'm just going to kind of communicate with you. Is that okay if I just kind of do that? Today is going to be what I'm going to call an interactive introduction. Never done this at Acacia, and so let me just the root of where I'm coming from today is a word called transparency. You can think of it as another flavor of honesty. And I've alluded to the fact, to this fact before here at Acacia, but I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to come out swinging at you today. I'm going to come out strong, and I'm going to put a statement on the screen that kind of will help me set the tone. And it's very simply this: if you aren't real, you really aren't anything. And those are tough words. I understand that, but just stay with me. But if you aren't real, you really aren't anything. Now, there's quite a bit of philosophical and literal depth to that simple statement right there. From a philosophical standpoint, the depth comes from the very debate of our existence. And I know that sounds weird to some of you, but if you go into an introductory philosophy class, one of the first things that the professor is going to ask you is, are you really here? And well, yeah, I'm really here. And, you know, I'm looking at you. And they'll say, well, can you prove your existence? Can you prove that you're really here? And you're like, man, you need to put down the crack pipe and slowly back away. Of course I'm here. You're looking at me. But she or he will keep on pressing forward, and they'll say, can you prove that we're really here? And this is all not like just some figment of your imagination, some Matrix-esque type of thing going on here. They'll ask, from a philosophical standpoint of view, how can you prove that you are really here? And the literal depth of that simple statement comes by way that you can answer that question. Because you can answer that question by picking up the empty chair next to you and swinging it at their face. And whenever the chair smashes into their grill, you can say, I'm sorry, was that a figment of your imagination, or did I really hit you in the face with the chair? The blood will be proof. It's for you Tommy Boy fans, it's not so much here, it's more right here. You know, when the chair hits you, you'll know you are in reality. And I know that that's kind of silly thinking for some of us, but here's the thing. Plainly and boldly, ladies and gentlemen, if you aren't real, you aren't really much of anything. And let's see where that takes us. That statement kind of sets us up where I hope that this series, and I pray that this series brings us. In this life, in every relationship, with your friends, with your family, with your spouse, and most of all, with your Lord and Savior, if you are not real and you are not transparent, you are living a life on a level lower than what it was meant to be. And the church said amen to that. You need to see you as being open and honest and completely transparent. Others need to see you as being real, not a person who is person A in this setting and person B in this setting. And God needs to see you as being completely transparent, hiding nothing from him with nothing to hide. And if you can get those three views in a line, you, others, and God seeing you as being open and honest and transparent, then and only then, ladies and gentlemen, will you begin to take the steps to what I refer to as spiritual health. Then and only then will you be spiritually whole, because I'm a believer that you're not ever going to learn to truly be holy until you can learn to be whole. Here's a couple of examples for you. If I came across to you this morning as closed and fake and very superficial in my greeting of you this morning, or in my opening remarks, you would kind of put a wall up. You would be like, yeah, I don't know about this dude. I don't know. And you would not really allow me to speak into your world. In many of my counseling appointments or conversations, when people hear me and they see me and they feel me being real, it's like a light bulb begins to go off in their head, and slowly they begin to say, you know what, I think I can be real back with this guy because he's being real with me. It's like whenever they realize that I still put my shoe on 1 foot at a time, just like they do, that it's almost like it allows them to open up and talk freely to me. When they see my transparency, they literally begin to say, and I tell them what God has done. Listen, whenever I tell them what God has done for me in my life, they begin to look at me, Brent, and they can say, you know what? Maybe some of that hope is for me. Maybe some of that transparency is something that I can find out what it's all about and take a look at and see if it fits me. And when I mention that my eyes, these eyes right here, these eyes can be tempted by the lust of the eyes, and that this flesh can be tempted by the lust of the flesh. And whenever I say things like that in a men's prayer meeting on a Saturday morning, the men of Acacia then realize that they had permission to struggle and admit that they're struggling with some of the things that are going on in their world. It's a concept of honesty producing more honesty. It's a concept of transparency producing more transparency. Whenever I mention to someone that I understand what it's like, man, to struggle with the temptations of drugs and alcohol, and whenever I say that, I don't have to give glory to my past life that I made such a wreck out of, but I can give God glory, but they understand that I know where they're coming from. It's kind of like I've been there and I've got the t-shirt too, and whenever I start singing those verses that they're familiar with, they're like, okay, this dude knows what I'm talking about. Let me hurry. Not in my notes. I probably should stay on my notes. It always gets me in trouble whenever I don't stay on my notes. But I went to preach one time in Austin before I moved there, and I did a youth service for the church. And I walked in and I did my thing. Hey, cool. Phew, praise the Lord. And we leave, and we're at Chili's. The youth pastor brings me to Chili's to grab a bite to eat before we're heading back home. And I go to the bathroom, and it's like too much information, right? I know, but I won't go into details. I go to the bathroom, and this dude follows me in there, which dudes don't do that. Chicks, that's okay, but dudes, we don't do that kind of stuff. We'll talk outside, man. But anyway, this dude follows me in, and he reaches into his pocket, and he grabs a bag of dope, and he gives me this bag of dope. I was like, man, I really appreciate what you're trying to do here, but you know, I've been clean for years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was like, no, you don't understand. He said, I want you to flush this down the toilet for me. And I was like, well, okay, I can do that. You guard the door, make sure the cops don't bust in, because since I'm holding my friend's bag of dope, yeah. The cops have never heard that one before, huh? No, it's my friend's. Sure it is, Mr. Cripps. Get in the car. Yeah. Anyway, I'm flushing this stuff down the toilet, and I'm like, okay, dude, question for you. Your youth pastor's right out there. Why didn't you give it to your youth pastor? And this is what he said. He said, Pastor Russ, my youth pastor's never seen a bag of dope, much less smoked it, so he don't get it. And unfortunately, he went into the part of the conversation where you know what it's like, because my past, I got a whole past. You should hear it. But when you're open with people, it gives them permission to open back up to you. It's a concept of transparency bringing about more transparency. It's about them seeing the hope of Jesus Christ in you, and then they start to think, oh, maybe I can get some of that hope as well. But here's the problem. Here's the reason for the direction of this series. We've come to associate transparency with weakness. We've come to associate honesty with fragility. It's like when Steph can't open that jar of peanut butter and I walk in and your voice lowers whenever you grab the jar of peanut butter from your bride and one brow furrows and the other one rises and you say, I'll take that. And you grab the peanut butter and you continue to go in your low voice and you just pop open the Skippy and you look at her and you say, you're welcome. And it's like in that moment right there, you could like model for GQ or something. You're just like, yes, I know. And it's this whole thing because you like, she affirmed me and she approved of me and I feel really good about myself. But then there's those few times when she gives me that Skippy that I cannot get open. And I'm like, yeah. You can't let her see your face. You know, you're in the corner like you're looking for something. You know, you're just straight up deceitful. and you get like knives out and you're hitting it and you're trying and you're like almost crying because she's going to like be so disappointed that you cannot open the peanut butter. It's a very similar situation. Here's how it fits us, because here's the problem. For some reason, whenever some people look at us as Christians, they tend to place a label of superhero on us, and it scares us to death. Because whenever they do that, they lift you to a certain standard of morals, don't they? If they see the acacia leaf on your car and they say, hey, what's the deal with the maple leaf on your car? And you have to tell them it's not a maple leaf, it's an acacia leaf, and we're taking over the world. It's this cool church. You got to come check it out. And they're like, oh, you go to church, do you? And then all of a sudden, your motives, I'm preaching, if you don't even know it or not, your motives go up a level. Everybody's going to start looking at you a little bit differently because they expect something more from you now, don't they? Now that you are a Christian, now that you've had this salvation experience, now that you're saved, sanctified, and set in your right mind, praise the Lord, you are held to a different level of expectation. Whether or not they use those words or whether or not I have used these words, let me just make a little bit more of a point here. There's been many times in my life whenever I've looked at my pastor, Rex Johnson, he's been here. I look at him really as a hero in my life. Because of the words that he's preached to me over the pulpit, because of the respect that I have for him and the God moments that life has afforded us to experience together, it causes a great amount of respect from me towards him. And get this, whether or not I intentionally do this, I begin to expect a different level of behavior from him. I expect him to have all the answers all of a sudden. I can go to him with anything, and it's pastor. He's going to be able to help me, right? Okay, and stay with me. I'm going to go a little bit further. Stay with me. Because you have trusted me to be your pastor, and you've allowed me to speak into your world. Perhaps even a little respect has come along in the transaction. You have placed me into a higher level than everybody else. Now, I'm not saying that that's good, bad, right, wrong. I'm just making my point. So stay with me, okay? So let's take that coat then and put it on and see if it fits us. See if that concept fits you, and be very careful. Be very honest. Do you see sometimes people as living on a higher plane of spirituality than you? Sunday school teachers, let me pick on you for a second. If you have ever taught back there in a Sunday school room, I just want to tell you, those kids think that you can like walk on water. Blake sits back there sometimes, and Blake can tell an old fishing story, and Blake can sing an old song that he learned in Sunday school, and he can tell them a story and threaten to come out and tell their moms and dads if they don't behave themselves, and then they'll get back in line, and then they color a little bit, and they get out of there, and they think, man, that dude is cool. Brother Blake is just awesome. They'll go home and mom and dad will say, you know what? Kleenexes are made out of the flux capacitor at the Kroger's machine. And they'll say, no, it's not. That's not what Blake says. Because all of a sudden, Blake has been lifted to a higher level just because of the position, just because of their interpretation of who he is and where he is in their world. Stay with me. But it's easy to kind of pick on kids, but we're all like that. We're all like that. Even as we age, we still see some folks differently. Have you ever come across someone, consciously or subconsciously, and you see them as mistake-free, I even put this as gluten-free, whatever gluten is, mistake-free, gluten-free, non-cussing, holy strangers in a strange land, awaiting on the glorious day when the trump of God shall sound and we'll all be teleported straight to the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. Hallelujah. And you look at people and you're like, yeah, I know they're going to heaven. Look at them. Smell them. They even smell godly. We've all done it. Do you sometimes see people as super Christians that every time you see them, they're smiling and it just makes you mad because they're smiling all the time. And it's like there's no way that they've ever had a bad day. There's never, there's no way that their faith has ever faltered. There's no way that they've ever allowed doubt to come into their world. Do you see some goody-goodies that you'd like to step on their toe, and they have this mantra of don't drink, don't chew, and don't run with those who do? You know, they're just these people, you know? You ever seen someone and you consider them a never-struggling, always-happy, super-shiny, Bible-memorizing, Jesus-freak in a good way? again, perhaps you've never used those words. Perhaps you've never used that verbiage, but we've all kind of been in familiar territory, and I think you understand what I'm saying. And I've carried that illustration out quite a bit this morning to get to this place because I wanted to paint a picture. And the picture that I wanted to paint is a picture of you. Because of you professing Christianity, because of you living this godly lifestyle, because of you exampling being this Christian person, others have probably put you in that same picture. Because of your choices in life that tell of your faith, consciously or subconsciously, others have put you into a higher level of existence. They may not use those same words, but they expect things from you, and it freaks us out. Perhaps to a certain extent, they're right, because we are called to live a life that's above reproach, but we're not called to live a life of dishonesty. Now, let me help you. I told you I was just going to talk to you today. Let me help you. As long as we're human, we will have struggles. Okay? Would you just accept that? Would you just swallow that pill and be okay with it? You know what, Superman? Would you just take off your cape? Would you just relax a little bit and let us all understand that we're just human? And as long as we're human, we're going to have struggles. We're going to have demands put upon us that lead us to living a life that has to be filled with honesty and openness and transparency. And follow the dots. Because of your allegiance to Jesus Christ, people look at you as some form of a superhero that is supposed to have it all together and you're supposed to know all the answers. And people will come up to you at work and they'll say, what does it mean in the Bible where the red horses are going to jump over the green horses? And it's talking about somebody's toes named Danny. And you're like, dude, I don't know. And I'm going to tell you something. You ready? Ready? It's okay that you don't know. Because we're all on a journey. We're all trying to get closer to him. Ready? Because what that does is that leads us to live a life that's false, trying to live up to their expectations and our reality. It leads us to this thing called duplicity, where we live one way publicly and we try to live another way privately. It leads us to try to live holy and more righteously than all of the others, and then we kind of begin to get pharisaical and think that we're better than everybody, or we just are on the other end of the spectrum and we just like a fallen angel and we just stop trying. And that leads us to talk about confessions of a superhero, because yes, we are called to live a life that's above reproach, but we're called to be human beings too. And somewhere between those two things of being super godly and super ordinary is our thing called life. It's our reality. We're called to be holy. We're called to be good. We're called to be righteous. And we're called to be open. And we're called to be honest. And we're called to be transparent. And between those two planes of existence is you. And since this series is driven around the principle of transparency and honesty, it's at this point that I just want to ask you, would you please just let me into your world this morning for a little bit? Would you please let the word of the Lord just kind of step into your existence and just, would you let down? I'm not going to ask you to join the church. I'm not going to ask you for an offering. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just want you to just say, okay, God, if you got something for me today, I'll give it a shot. That's what I'm asking for today. So you're not really a superhero. You can't really fly. You don't have superpowers, or you don't live in a bat cave equipped with supercomputers and super weapons that clip on your super belt. Really, we're just trying to find the best parts of ourselves and develop those best parts into something called good parts and then just try to live a thing called life. And I'm only human, and sometimes it's tough being that. When you have painted yourself as a superhero or when someone has painted you that way, it's not easy. So here's the bottom line. Here's the sticky statement that I pray you not only get a hold of, but I pray that it gets a hold of you. On the screen, you'll see it. Lives lived with false expectations placed upon you by you or placed upon you by others leads to lives lived as false identities. False expectations lead to false identities. Whether you place them on you or whether someone else places them on you, you can't live whole and complete on one day and fragmented and disheveled the next day without understanding that you could not make all of this reconcile without the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Somebody said amen to that. You cannot live life based on the assumptions and the expectations of others. There comes a day whenever we must seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling, according to Philippians 2:12. So this today is an interactive introduction to this series. I've never spent a whole Sunday really just kind of introducing something, but we are today because I just want to get you to try to drop the superhero mask that you're wearing and simply get real with God. I want you to drop the false pretenses that you came into this place with and just get honest with yourself. And I want you to drop that life of superficiality and just become transparent with others. So I got a little video here that I want to show to you, and it's not a great video. It's just a video that I put together. The words of the song and the concept that's working here together is just kind of let this resonate to you, and then we'll see where it takes us after the video. Check it out. There's really two concepts in there that I want to make a point of, and I'm going to put them on the screen because the song said, "Even heroes have the right to bleed, and even heroes have the right to dream." And I want to make a point out of those because saying that heroes have the right to bleed means that we need to realize that we're broken. And so let me just pick on someone who's been in church for a long time. And I'll just say, whenever we walk this walk for so long and these labels get placed upon us and this outside pressure begins to hit us as far as these levels of expectation, we begin to have to understand that it's okay to bleed because we feel like we're supposed to be invincible. We feel like we're supposed to be unstoppable. We feel like we're supposed to have all the answers. But even heroes have the right to bleed. Even heroes have the right to realize that we're broken and that's okay. And then the song also says, even heroes have the right to dream. And then that's part two, because we dream of the fact that we can one day be healed. We dream of the fact that one day maybe we can actually get better, because we're going to struggle. We're going to have these issues in our life, but those issues in our life don't have to define who we are. We've said that at Acacia here for 2 years now. You don't have to be defined by the past that got you to this place. So again, let's just be honest today. We're talking about confession. Let's just let a spirit of honesty just kind of rest into this place upon each and every one of us. And let me just tell you, Superman, it's okay to take off your cape. Because like the song said, it's probably not a cape anyway. It's probably just a red sheet that we're just trying to fake it into a role that has been placed upon us. Get honest and admit that we don't stay in this elusive state of perfection. And we've all come to the place to where we then try to fake it pretty good. Even from our early childhood, we've learned to play the game really well, haven't we? We've learned to say the right things to the right people at the right times. In trouble, we've learned what our parents like to hear. At school, we've learned what our teachers like to hear. And now that I'm older, I realize that learning to play the game was really just a practice run for an adult. Because sure, the playground is now different that we roam on these days, but it's essentially the same game. As a teenager, I played the game as well as anybody around me. I partied with certain groups to fit in. I cussed, I lied, I cheated on a few tests. Sorry, children, that you had to hear that. My lifestyle turned out to not be yielding of anything gainful, but it sure did cost me an awful lot. And what happens is we get so good at playing the game that we continue to play the game as an adult because no one tells us any differently. No one calls our hand on it. And some folks just play the game so long that they don't even live in reality anymore. Have you ever met anybody who does not live in reality? Don't look around and don't point. It's a story told by a guy named Don Miller. And Don Miller grew up in Houston, I think around the Kingsland area. And he was playing tennis at like one of those neighborhood tennis association type deals. It's public. You can go out there and anybody can play and turn on the lights for, you know, it's got the timer on it. And were playing tennis. And him and his friend were playing tennis. And, you know, whenever you're like an aspiring tennis star, like we've all been on those public courts, you know, every once in a while you just feel that really good forehand coming up and you just, wah, and then you just nail it. And that gives you a little bit of swagger. And the next one comes along and you try to do the thing, except it's like a home run, bro. You hit it like 350 yards over in the woods. And so, you know, you have to stop playing ever so often because you don't have just a multitude of tennis balls. And so you have to go out in the woods and chase them. And so this guy named Don Miller was playing, and one of them hit one of the tennis balls way out in the woods. And so he goes out there and he's got his tennis racket and he's looking for the tennis ball, and he walks up on the situation, and it's like he didn't realize what he was walking into before he got there. And he walked up and he just realized that he was standing before two people that were dressed like wizards. And they were holding swords facing each other right here in the woods. And they apparently were playing Dungeons and Dragons whenever Don Miller walked into their little world. And he was just like, And he just grabbed the tennis ball and he just kind of slowly backs away like, guys, it's cool. It's cool. I'm not going to attack you. And so he just, you know, he's holding the tennis racket and he gets back out. But here's the thing. These guys were so wrapped up in their fantasy world that it took a little bite of reality to come in and make them realize what reality was all about. And we laugh at their story, but you didn't realize it. Here I go, I'm punching you. Are we so far removed from that, spiritually speaking? Because you can probably fool a lot of people, but ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that you cannot fool God Almighty? Listen how tricky this mask wearing is, because we got this superhero complex and we're trying to be invincible, okay? And one thing that superheroes lack, though, is transparency. All of this, of course, leads to multiple, much deeper problems. I don't have time to go there, but just get what I'm saying right here. Follow the superhero concept a little further. And let me ask you, isn't Spider-Man really just Peter Parker that got bit by a spider? Isn't Batman really just Bruce Wayne, a dude with a rich daddy and a terrible voice? It's just like a normal dude, but he puts on this mask and he becomes somebody else, okay? There's this one scene in Spider-Man 1, 2, or 3, or 27. I forget which one it is. But Spider-Man swoops in and he's saving the world and he sees the redhead, you know? He sees that chick and, you know, it's that moment. Their hearts connect, their eyes lock, and he's like, hey, you know, he's swinging through there and he can't stop you. Hey, and she sees Spider-Man. Ready? She sees Spider-Man. Peter Parker sees her. Okay, borrowing from my friend Merle's vernacular, you see what I just did right there? Listen, Spider-Man was so trapped behind his mask that those he loves the most still cannot see who he really is. That's what wearing a mask will do for you. It gets you to the place to where you are so consumed with playing the role and playing the game and playing Mr. Invincible and Mrs. Unstoppable that those closest, those living inside of your own house really do not understand who you are. That's what the superhero stigma does to you. It makes you live behind the mask so long that you begin to live the part instead of living reality. And so I've come today to ask you, isn't it time that we stop playing those silly games and we get honest and we just say, you know what, I'm broken, I'm flawed, I'm messed up, I'm a bundle of paradoxes, but by the grace of God, here I stand. Aren't you tired of wearing the mask and trying to impress others? Aren't you tired of not being real, even to yourself? Aren't you tired of trying to fake it on some level of spirituality so that maybe God won't see that you're falling behind in the pack? Aren't you tired of hiding and playing hide and seek from God? And not like a superficial type of hide and seek, but I mean like in a deep down way where you get to the point to where you can say, here I am, God. From now on, I refuse to attempt to hide anything from you, because in reality, it's silly to try to hide something from God. He's God. He sees all. He knows all. He knows when one sparrow falls. He knows how many hairs are on your head right now. I've used this quote before. It's from Mark Buchanan. It goes like this. God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter and all matters, all mind and every mind. He knows all spirit and every spirit, all being and every being, every creature and all creatures. He knows. He knows every plurality and all pluralities and all law and every law. He knows all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all feelings, all desires, every unspoken secret, all thrones and principalities and powers, all personalities and all things visible and all things invisible, all things in heaven and all things on earth, all motion, all space, all time, all life, all death, all good, all evil, God simply knows. So it would be a good idea for us just to go ahead and be honest and admit some days it's just not easy being me. It's not easy. I started out by telling you today that was essentially going to set us up for the rest of the series, and here's what I pray would grip us over the next 3 weeks. There needs to be a spirit of confession. It would sweep through Acacia Church to the point to where we're all transparent and honest with ourselves, with each other, and most of all with God. We're flawed. We're broken. We're messed up. Since our ancestors by the name of Adam and Eve, we've all had the right to bleed, but we've all got the right to dream. We've all got the hope of His grace and His mercy that will lead us to this place called better. Thankfully, God's word has much to say about this subject. On the screen, you'll see it, 1 John chapter 1, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie. Straightforward words there. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves or we wear masks. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all of our unrighteousness. So a couple of things, I'm not far from being done. A couple of things, I just wanted to introduce that scripture because that's where we're going to be over the next couple of weeks. And when we close, you'll understand why I'm trying to do this the way that I'm doing it and setting it up for where we're going here. But I do want to point out one thing in verse 5. It says God is light. It doesn't say that God is a light. It doesn't say that God is the light. It said God is light. Now, there's a thing called the theory of first mention, and it's when you take a concept that's in the Bible, and then you start turning your pages backwards, and you get to the place where it was first mentioned. And this concept called light was the first creation in Genesis 1 and 3. In the beginning, there was God, and God spoke everything into existence, and the first thing he said, let there be light, and there was light. There was this vacuum of nothingness until God spoke, Act 1, and the first thing was light. And that light then shed the way for everything else to come into being, the order and the beauty and the growth and life itself. And light also is indicative of fellowship. Get this. No one invites a few people over for dinner and sets them around the table and then turns the lights out. Be a little bit odd and off-putting if you did that. Light is about fellowship. Light is about being together. Darkness is about hiding things. Listen, darkness is about hiding yourself. You play hide and seek in dark places, don't you? It's about keeping things from being transparent. It's not about being open and honest and forthcoming. I looked it up on about 3 or 4 different websites, and at least 70% of all crimes are committed at night. It's because they're hiding something. They're trying to do something that they did not need to be doing. Each week, we're going to look at this scripture, and we're going to pull apart some things, and we're going to learn some stuff. But here's how I want to close today. And again, this whole day's been different. My approach today is different. My clothes will be different. 1 John tells us what walking in the light does. It essentially does two things. Number one, it brings about a consciousness of sin or an acknowledgement of sin. Whenever you stand next to God, whenever you are in his presence, you realize that he is very holy and you are very not. And there's this revelation of what all is impure in your world. And this is huge. This is huge because, listen, we can't be fixed if we don't acknowledge that we're broken. We can't be healed unless we first admit that we're not whole. So there must be this acknowledgement of sin, and that leads to number 2, which is going to be the point of the next 3 weeks. There's got to be a confession of sin. First of all, there has to be a consciousness of sin. Number 2, there has to be a confession of sin. Consciousness of sin leads us to confession. Confession leads us to a clarity of living, which leads us to the unique way that I'm going to try to close this today. I'll just close by telling you it's time to confess. And it's so funny because everybody's like, what is this dude fixing to do? Okay, we're gonna ask you to file up your single file. We're going to put the spotlight right here on you. And we want you to confess all of your terrible sins. And we're going to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Not. But it is time for confession. I'm asking you at this moment in this day, and it is 11:08. I usually preach till about 11:15, so we're in good shape. We're going to have baptismal service after, so please don't get in a hurry. You're going to beat everybody to lunch, so it's cool, but just stay with me. What would it be like today if like today was like the day that you just said, you know what? Okay. All right. I'm going to get honest. I'm going to get transparent. What if today was the day that you stopped trying to wear a mask and you said, Lord, there's some things in my life that we must get correct and we must start working on them right now. What if today was the day that you took off the cape, stopped trying to be a superhero and you just said, you know what? I'm just me, and I need some work. I need some rough edges cut off. I need to be shaped. I need to be made. I need to be molded. Because here's the thing: if you want to grow, if you want to learn, if you want to develop, you have to make sure that your foundation is smooth. One final example, and then I'll close, and we're done. I did a series of lessons one time whenever I was in Austin, and it was called "Everything You Need to Know About Your Marriage Is in a Fish Tank." And it was about relationships. It was about the home, and we looked at the fish tank as the home and all the different scenarios, the filter and the water, the environment, the temperature, all this kind of cool stuff, and it brought a whole lot of stuff to light. Here's the first thing that I learned in this. I went and bought an aquarium book, and I just looked at it, and here's the first thing that I learned. If you're going to get an aquarium and you're going to set it on a table, the first thing that you must do is you make very sure that that surface is very clean. Very clean. Because here's the deal. If you put it on there and there's like one grain of sand on that surface, you put the fish aquarium up there, you fill it up, everything's fine. The guppies are like doing their thing, man. It is a glorious little world of existence. A year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 10, 15 years go by. And all is right with the world. And then all of a sudden, in the side of the fish tank, a split just kind of comes up out of nowhere. And you're like, what happened, bro? We've been going strong here for 15 years. What's the deal? The book said that if there is one grain of sand that is not cleaned off, and the the years of weight and pressure will eventually get overwhelming, and this one grain of sand will cause a split in the whole environment. That's why it's important to confess. That's why it's important not to think that you can just live your life by covering things up with masks and capes and uniforms and costumes and just hiding everything from everybody around you, because eventually there's going to be a crack that comes up in your world. There's going to be a crack that goes up in your environment that's going to completely destroy everything around you. So Superman, please just, would you take this off? Would you take the cape off? Would you just be honest? And so as the musicians come, I'll ask you to, like I always ask you, let them come up here, but still listen to me. Still stay focused on what I'm fixing to ask you to do here. I want all of you to, in just a moment, I want all of you to grab an offering, a contribution envelope that is in the seat in front of you, and there should be a pen probably every other chair. And in just a moment, I want you to write down a confession. I want you to write down something that you struggle with. I want you to write down something that you wish you could learn to conquer. I want you to write down something that is specific. And we're going to give you time. And you can write a whole little story if you want to, or you can just say like one word. It could just be, I'm just going to, just lust. Or honesty. Don't put your name on it. Don't let someone see what you're writing, but don't start writing yet. Hold on. Because here's what we're going to do. Here's the interactive part. I've never done anything like this. If it goes great, we'll say, wow, that was awesome. God gave me a great idea. If it goes terrible, I'll say, wow, Russ, that was terrible. That was a dumb idea on your part. We'll never do it again. This is a 3-week series that we're starting today. It's going to lead us up to Palm Sunday. I'll preach something different on Palm Sunday. But we started today. We have 2 weeks left in this series called Confessions of a Superhero. Ready for a confession? I have no idea what I'm going to preach in weeks 2 and 3. You guys are going to determine what I preach in weeks 2 and 3. Because if there's a lot of issues with answer A, the next week I'm going to preach on answer A. If there's a whole lot of things also on answer B, then week 3 is going to address answer B. Because I want you guys to help steer where we're going. I want you guys to help us steer where Confessions of a Superhero is going to end up landing, and the content that we're going to end up covering. And so in just a second, they're going to begin to sing some songs, and they're going to sing a song. And I would like for you to, I tell you what, if you don't mind, stand. And I know that if you want to sit down and write, you can do that as well. But just somehow, I want you to kind of let this song begin to kind of minister to you. But I want God to minister to you more so than a song. And as they sing, as they begin to just kind of lead us in a little bit of worship here before we dismiss, I want you to write down, I struggle with loneliness. I struggle with purpose in my life. I struggle with finances. I struggle with compassion. I have no compassion for anybody around me. People drive me nuts, and I know that I need compassion in my world. So if you would just kind of write down what you're struggling with, in just a few minutes, we're going to pass the burlap sacks around again, and you guys are going to have an opportunity to put that in there. I'll go home, I'm going to pray over them, and I'm going to say, okay, God, lead me in the direction that you want us to go. And over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to try to address some of the things that you have brought to the table here today. So they're going to sing. You guys just spent three minutes. And if you get done writing, then just sing with us and worship with us. And then I'll come up and dismiss us in just a second. And we'll pass the sacks around and we'll be able to turn these in.